The following is brought to you by the Shining Wizards Network, home to many great podcasts, including Turnbuckle Throwbacks, Two and a Half Wrestlers, Inconclusive Breakdown, Neckbreaker, Thursday Night Destruction, The Midnight Jury, After Midnight, and of course, The Shining Wizards. Available on iTunes, Stitcher, Audio Boom, and at ShiningWizardsNetwork.com. There are many ways in which you can support the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast. Perhaps the easiest way is to head on over to iTunes and Stitcher Radio and leave us a review. If you do any shopping at Amazon, go over to ShiningWizards.com and click the Amazon banner. It's not going to cost you anything extra, and a small percentage of your purchase will go to support the show. If you'd like to purchase one of our logo shirts, head on over to ShiningWizards.com/merch and pick one of our latest styles. Or head over to ProWrestlingTees.com/ShiningWizards for our Shining Wizards Network and tons of other designs. If you'd like to be our friend on Facebook, join us at Shining Wizards. If you'd like to follow us on Twitter, do so at Wizards Podcast. And if you'd like to send us any kind of email, you can do so at WizardsPodcast@gmail.com. The Shining Wizards Podcast is available on iTunes, Stitcher, Audio Boom, GeekLifeRadio.com, and of course, at ShiningWizards.com. From all of us at the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast, we thank you for your continued support. And now, enjoy.
What's up, guys? It's the phenomenal AJ Styles, and you are listening to the Shining Wizards Podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are here for the very last episode of the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast for the year 2014, where it's wrestling talk.
And talk about wrestling.
And we are back to the two-man group in Studio A. It's Tony,
the dynamic duo, and Kevin.
And we are here to interview, I feel weird saying J-E-double-F.
You can say it. He's not on the air yet.
Well, I don't know, it's just weird, you know, like that was my big, I mean, I've heard of Jeff Jarrett before that, but that was like my big introduction to him, you know,
right?
With the big red J's on his hat and
with the neon lights that would light up on his suspend on his jacket, the big double J, like reverse J's.
Like, I even have a cute little intro for Jeff later.
Do you?
Well, he was the precursor to the glow in the dark, not the glow in the dark, The light bright jacket.
Jericho.
Yeah.
The Jericho jacket.
Also, you know, before D's nuts, there was slap nuts.
There were slap nuts. I choke on that, slap nuts.
Yeah, I mean, Jeff, like, all right, you look at his WWF career.
Right.
I mean, multi-time Intercontinental Champion. But once he left there were huge things in his future.
Right, well.
Multi-time WCW champ, multi-time NWA champ.
I mean, even his
Mexican champion.
The Smoky Mountain North American champion?
NWA? I don't even know.
NWA. The NWA North American champion.
Came in with Bombastic Bart and Bitchy Billy.
Bodacious Bob.
Whatever.
And who could forget the major feud with Black Jack Windham? that drew numbers, that feud.
Of course it did.
No, but, I mean, even his run before he went to WCW, the character developed in WWF when he teamed with Owen Hart, when Deborah was with him.
Yeah.
And he, you know.
Which I thought was a great tag team.
So did I.
I thought they were fantastic together.
I mean, two of the best wrestlers you could possibly imagine. The chemistry between them was, I think, severely underrated in terms of where the great tag teams stand.
With Deborah.
And we all know how we feel about her.
Yeah, yeah. I used to love her shtick in WCW where she's like, now y'all ain't heard that from me because I don't like doing that.
I know that Nance is just a little upset because she put on all that holiday weight.
I hated her. I used to talk to I don't want to name drop, but I used to talk to Devin Storm about her. Because, you know, Devin was working in WCW.
Right.
He's like, dude, I love her gimmick. I think she's awesome. And I'm like, I don't see it, dude. She's just fucking annoying.
Well, has that... She came out with, like, the sash on, like, the Miss Texas, like,
yeah,
thing with the crown on.
Yeah.
Has that been done before her?
No, as a matter of fact, after she did it, they recycled it with Miss Madness.
Oh, yeah. Molly Holly with her, Gorgeous George, Medusa were all in Camp Macho.
Camp Macho.
God. But
you know what? As much as we shit on Vince Russo and the badness, well, not, I mean, it wasn't all him, but the bad that came out of WCW, there was some good shit going
on. Dude, I popped when I think I was watching WCW would have, they would stream their pay-per-views too on the internet before I think anyone else did. Like I remember watching, I think it was a Great American Bash when Sid made his like return to WCW, and it was to help Savage beat Nash for the belt or something like that. And I popped for that. I popped for Camp Macho.
I popped when he won World War III that year.
95.
Yeah, that was after
that. That was the first World War III.
And that was as a result of the monster truck slash... Nope. Nobody knew that it was a disqualification or whatever. Could change the title and...
Was that the same? No, that wasn't the same pay-per-view. That was the that was the Halloween Havoc, wasn't it?
No, it was the same one because...
No, because the War Games was... Oh, wait, are we talking War Games or are we talking World War III?
No, yeah, World War III was the 60-man battle royal.
Three ring. That monster truck match wasn't
no,
there.
No, it wasn't, but it was the pay-per-view before that set that up, that the title was on the line. Because remember,
right,
it was Hogan and the Giant.
Yep.
And nobody knew that he could win the title on a disqualification. It's like, come on, dude.
That's when the Yeti came in, right?
Oh, and he humped him.
Yeah. And then Savage, that's my favorite. That 95 in WCW was probably one of my favorite eras.
And I thought it was cool that they put three rings out.
It was the way they had it set up that was brutal.
With the diagonals.
The diagonals and the commentary jumping from team to team. And I mean, that's a lot of people to have in a battle royal.
Yeah.
And for just a battle royal, essentially, especially then, maybe not so much now, is punching, kicking, over the top rope.
With 60 guys.
With 60. That's a long time to watch 60 guys punch and kick and false elimination.
And then if there's like two or three guys left, they have to stop fighting.
And move into the other ring. It's like, these guys have to go to ring number two from ring number three because the rent was higher and they can't afford to stay there anymore. They have to go to the low-income housing of ring number two with the Yeti and... Buddy Lee Parker.
I don't know if I talked about it. I think I did a few shows ago. It was War Games, but it had the Tower of Doom.
Oh, with, God. With Zeus and...
No. It was Sunshine and Jimmy Garvin was in it. And they all started at the top, and then they had to work their way down to the bottom. And the first one to have somebody escape won the match.
How do I not know what this is?
It was like Ivan Koloff was in it. And there was some masked guy. I think it was like the Russian assassin or some shit. The Road Warriors were in it. Dr. Death, Steve Williams was in it.
Was it an every man for himself battle
royal,
or was it a team thing?
It was 5-on-5. It was War Games, but it wasn't the typical two-ring setup. It was the Tower of Doom. And every two or three minutes, Tommy Young, poor fucking Tommy Young.
One of the Fantastics or no? Who's Tommy Young?
Not Tommy. Tommy Young, the referee. Not Tommy Rogers. Tommy Young.
Okay.
He had these ropes, and every 15 seconds he had to pull a rope to open the trap door so somebody could go through. Dude, and he looked so mortified. He was at the top of the cage.
He looked so Mordecai?
Ropes. Yes, exactly.
He looked so Mordecai.
You mentioned that because Kevin Thorne's going to be in the 30-man.
On the spot.
Yes.
Pro Wrestling Syndicate Battle Royal.
You
Rumble.
Fucking Segway bastard. You.
Hey, this is what I do. This is my thing, man. I'm a Segway genius.
Yes,
except
you
when
are.
I'm on a. Except when I'm on stage doing comedy.
Boo.
I can't segue into anything.
Well, speaking of segue, I'll just jump right to it. You and Shining Wizards Matt, who's not here because he has the AIDS.
Yeah, they're both dead, Matt and Eddie. They died together, and we buried them in a Kamala coffin.
It's in the shape of a foot.
Yeah.
Actually, it's a foot and a lower leg.
That's
Eddie's,
what it is.
Eddie's the shin, and Matt's the foot.
God, fucking, what are the odds of both of them getting sick?
Well, what are you going to do? They leave it to the pros to interview Mr. Jeff Jarrett tonight.
That should be great.
It's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be a lot of fun. But speaking of fun, you and Matt went on a trip to see Raw this past week.
No, we went to see...
It wasn't Raw. It was a tape. It was a house show. It was a house show.
Yeah, the first house show I've been to probably in 10 years, maybe. Haven't been to a house show in a long time.
And this was at the Garden.
This was at the Garden. This
World famous cool. MSG.
Which... I put this on Facebook. It was so cool. Like when we got up to the concourse where our seats were, the first thing you see is this mural and this plaque and all this memorabilia for Hulk Hogan. So
it was just for the Hulkster.
It was just what they had. Roddy Piper's boots, I think, and they had like the video cover with Mr. T and Hulk Hogan. Like
I can picture him. He's like, "Take my boots, because nobody could lace them anyway."
Yeah, dude, that was just cool. That set the tone for. This was a fun house show, man. I mean, a lot of kids. There were kids in front of us that were going apeshit the entire time.
A lot of was it packed?
Yeah, yeah, it was a good
nice.
Crowd. Yeah,
yeah. That's one thing about the Garden. The Garden always draws a nice crowd.
It was a lot of fun. I mean, the matches were good. You know, you had standard matches that you would have that you'd see on Raw. Ziggler, Harper, Randy Orton. Made his first appearance back.
What was the main event?
Seth Rollins, John Cena, street fight, which was cool because they had some spots where nothing crazy to write home about. I actually don't really remember much of the match, but you had your run ins from the heels and your the.
Were Kevin and Matt partying a little during the show?
We had a few. I mean, we met up at a bar in South Orange before we took the train in, so we could.
Wait, so, South Orange, you went out?
Yeah, Matt. It's close to me, and Matt really didn't care because I don't know where a train station is near him.
What place was it?
South Bunnies.
I don't know if I ever heard of Bunnies.
Oh, you've heard of Bunnies. It's great pizza. Seton Hall Bar, obviously.
Hey, is Crying? Crying's went out of business a while ago, right?
Yeah.
They lost their license.
Crying's ain't there no more.
Wah.
Too many underagers.
Ooh, a boo. World famous Crying's where Kaodorf performed.
And someone threw up on the fucking floor while they were playing.
Yes. Wait, was that you?
No, it wasn't me.
Oh, was it the Brain?
No, I think it was just some random dude.
Just walking up to the stage.
He just fucking threw up right in front of Shining Wizards Eddie in a mean fucking walk like an Egyptian keyboard solo.
If that's one thing Eddie can do is play a mean walk like an Egyptian keyboard solo.
I don't even know if there is a keyboard solo.
No, I know what I know exactly
do,
what it
do,
was.
Do, do, do.
Yep. What? He was playing the whistling part on the keyboard. And this dude just walks over. Poor Eddie.
I was there for that show. You were there for that show?
Yeah.
I was there too.
Yeah, I remember the wife and I met up with the Brain before the show. And we actually sat and had a meal together.
A meal of food?
Yeah. No, it was a meal of, I don't know,
a
rats.
A meal of food. God, but so it was a fun house show. Usual standard par for the course. Run-ins at the end.
Cena takes on all.
No, well, Cena, Dolph Ziggler, and Orton all had run-ins along with Kane and Big Show. And
wait, how many run-ins were there?
Kane came in. Randy Orton ran him off. Big Show came down. Ziggler came down.
Oh God,
it was cool. It was fun though. I love a good brouhaha.
Well,
not really.
Well, what happened after the show?
Matt, it's since gone our separate ways, and I get back to a bar in my hometown, and that's...
Oh, you weren't with Matt?
No, Matt was gone at this point. This was just me and a couple of
Kevin.
Ruffians. Dude, and this bar that I go to, I'm not going to say it, but they have a young following of kids from like Summit, Springfield. Young kids, good kids, spend a lot of money.
Jewy kids?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure.
Well, you start naming up all those areas.
They
that's
might,
the first thing
they might have
on.
the resources of a Jewy kid, I guess. Because they spend money.
I did that for Jamie.
But then, I don't know what the fuck happened. A fight broke out between two of them. And then, I guess, being that we felt like this is our home bar, we had to feel the need to try to break it up. And then... all fucking hell broke loose. I get punched in my face. Get suckered like three times. I mean, I don't remember a whole lot of it. All I know is that I think I'm trying to break it up. And then all of a sudden I feel like three punches, like right here to my left cheek. boom, boom. I'm like, I'm thinking to myself, am I getting punched right now? Am I 31 years old getting punched in the face? Like, is this happening? So, like, I turn up to the kid. I finally see who's hitting me. And I'm like, dude, relax. I'm just trying to break it up. And he's like, I don't give up who you are. Gets me one more clean shot right to the face. Whatever. It doesn't knock me down. Doesn't do anything. But I'm just like, all right, that's it. So I fucking yoke him up, fucking slam him into the wall and throw him over a bar stool. And then they got all broken up and shit.
Wow.
No, but he got me. He got me. I'm not going to pretend like I fucking did anything to this kid, but he got me fucking good.
Yeah, but. Yeah. He didn't put you down.
Nah, he didn't put me down.
Could not take down the caveman.
Dude, which is surprising because I'm like 109 pounds.
Yeah, but you've been around the bars for your whole life, dude. Like, yeah. you're toughened up to that scene.
I am. It's been I don't want to fight. Fighting is the stupidest thing on the planet.
Yeah.
Like, real fighting, like
right.
At a bar over something fucking stupid.
Real fighting is stupid.
Real, yeah. Put me in a steel cage where I could just do headlocks and fucking... Bumps into mesh.
Yes. Headlocks. Yeah. In the steel cage.
In a steel cage. Greco-Roman steel cage matches.
If Jeff Jarrett wasn't on tonight, I think that would be our title.
That's, God, I woke up the next day, like, my teeth still hurt.
Ooh.
But my face, I had a little inflation on the old cheekbone, but.
You know, now I'm staring at your face, and yeah. Now I'm trying to look to see if it's swollen up.
It's coming down a little bit. Still got some markings over there. But
it does look a little puffy, but
yeah.
I would have thought nothing of it had you not mentioned it.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's good radio.
Oh, my God, dude. The more I look at it, the worse it looks.
Yeah, it's all right.
Yeah. Now, you've got
now the kid's looking at you. I should have brought him with me, because the way he handled Gulak, he probably could have taken those kids out.
He's going to be a tough one, this kid.
God bless.
He really is. Punch him in the face.
I'm like, am I getting how am I getting punched in the face? Like, who's hitting me? What am I doing to deserve getting hit?
It was like a video
right
game. Like, you're just walking down a corridor. Next thing you know, you're taking damage, and you're like, what's going on?
No idea. It took me like 5-6 seconds, and you know, one, two. That's like a long time to figure out what the fuck's going on.
Ugh.
But whatever. We got wrestling to talk
Excuse
about,
me.
Right?
Yeah, I mean. We got some time before Jeff calls. How much time do we need to talk about Raw? Like 15 minutes?
I think they made some pretty serious developments in terms of where they could go on this road to WrestleMania.
Now, I watched a bit. Some of the stuff that I remember. Did you watch the whole thing?
Yeah.
All right, because I don't want to take away from you covering it, but I'll just let you know what
I'm not
I
gonna,
saw.
I'm not going to do like a Matt rundown where he goes through everything.
Everybody in a headlock.
Yeah.
Sorry, Matt, you suck.
No, but it wasn't an insult. It's just when we have...
Nah,
he does it. He's very more thorough than I...
He sucks. anyway.
No, get well soon, Matt.
Yeah, so...
Eddie, you can die.
Yeah, Eddie can die. Eddie can eat a bag of dicks. So, I saw the tag title change. The Miz Dows lost to the Usos. And the Usos back together with his wife and everything's hunky-dory.
Yeah. Pretty sure I called that, too.
I saw the opening with Edge and Christian.
Their shtick is old. I love Christian. No one's a bigger Christian fan than I.
It's just weird. They have these people back, and then they always take advantage of them, whether it was Brock Lesnar coming out to threaten them. Like, what they do has nothing to do with them. It's like they could have put anybody there to have Brock Lesnar come out. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but isn't that the point, though, not to waste roster spots? Like, you really want Brock Lesnar to humiliate, like, Jack Swagger?
No, but if it was Jerry Lawler coming to the ring saying, like, oh, you know, you're talking and this and that. But,
I think
you, know.
It, you have Brock Lesnar, the Beast, whatever, and then you have one already a Hall of Famer, Christian, I imagine, will be a Hall of Famer at
some
point.
Well, he is. Isn't he in the TNA Hall of Fame or no?
Is he?
No,
Sting, Kurt Angle,
Kurt
Dudley's.
And, yes. Is it sad or is it great
that
we know that?
How the fuck did we know that? We knew all the TNA Hall of Famers.
I couldn't name. You know what? If we sat down, we could probably name about 70 or 80% of the WWE Hall of Fame.
The ones that we probably would forget were the ones that were done before they made the big hoopla about it.
Yeah, like
Andre and
Yeah, between
Snuka,
Andre
that,
and like the first like
that
real
class.
Meal.
Yeah. But I bet we could probably name, if say there's like 100 people in a WWE Hall of Fame.
I'd say we could do 70 easy.
Oh, I'd say we could do more than 70. I'd say we could do 80 to 85.
Probably more.
I could name all of them for the last, like, whatever.
Yeah, but then they'd be like, oh my God, I forgot this one. Or oh my God, I forgot about that one.
Listen, James Dudley.
Yeah.
James Dudley in the Hall of Fame. There you go.
Coco Beware.
Coco Beware in the Hall of Fame. Mr. T and his mama. I'm trying to think who else. We've had this conversation about people who aren't Hall of Famers that are in.
Johnny Rods is in there. A lot of people wouldn't think that he would be.
Yeah.
Most of WrestleMania 1 is in there, so you might as well just run down the card.
Yeah, well, Paul Orndorff deserves
Paul Orndorff, Piper, Hogan, Tito, The Sheik. I think Volkov's the only one not in there.
No,
is
Volkov's
he?
In.
Oh,
they,
he is?
I think they got in the same year.
Oh, wait a minute. That's right. Volkov is in the Hall of Fame.
I think Volkov, wasn't it Piper, Hogan?
It was most of them that year.
Sheik, Volkov, all the same.
I think Orndorff was that same year, too.
Yeah, Volkov's got to be in.
They were actually talking about inducting that match.
Right.
Snuka's in there, too.
Yeah, Snuka. Well, Snuka was in back
I think
in
the
like
only
96.
One, the only one not in there is probably Bob Orton. Oh, is he in the
Hall
of Fame?
He's in.
Holy cow.
He's in.
I think I really would be bad at this.
Who else is in that does not deserve to be in?
I don't know. I think I find, I think we...
We've gone through this many a times, but...
Yeah, I forget exactly how we approached it, but
I'm trying to think if there's anyone, since the last time we talked about it, that got in the last class, like Carlos Colon, Scott Hall, they both deserve to be in. Warrior obviously deserves to be in. Snake... obviously deserves to be in. Lita obviously deserves to be in.
Mr. T I'd put in there. Why not?
Yeah, of course I'd put Mr. T in there. Tyson's in, which is fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, but...
Except for Bob Backlund.
He's in.
It's so weird. They induct Bob Backlund the same year they do Bruno.
Go through the www.com and find Hall of Famers. Just because now I'm intrigued.
Now Kevin's intrigued.
Now I want to figure out...
Well, let's see what else I remember from Raw.
But back to, I guess, my point about...
Okay.
Which was, I'd rather have Edge and Christian, who aren't going to be on TV every week, and plus it makes Brock Lesnar that much more intimidating when you're... First of all, you're staring down two guys. John Cena has to come in so they don't get their fucking asses kicked. It kind of makes Brock Lesnar... It means a lot more to have it be Edge and Christian than it would be for Jerry Lawler.
Fair enough, but here's the one thing I don't like. Everybody knows why Edge retired, because they put it up on Front Street at the beginning of Raw.
Right.
But then later on in the show, that comes into play with the Authority.
Which I'm not sure how I feel about that.
It's rushed.
I think it was rushed that the Authority's back. I thought the whole segment took way too fucking long.
Yeah.
Just how long was Cena going to like let him have his head like pinned down to that briefcase?
Yeah. And then Cena wind up eating it anyway.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. It is what it is.
This was not the way I expected them to bring them back.
And it makes you wonder if Cena's going to walk out of Rumble with the championship. You know?
I don't know. There's
a whole lot of different directions they can go.
A lot of stuff happened last night that...
Roman Reigns is back.
That made... like. Everyone thought Roman Reigns is the shoe-in now, but now with Daniel Bryan back, I mean, I still think, and Eddie would probably be all over us right now, like if we even speculated that Daniel Bryan has a shot, Eddie'd be like, no, he doesn't have a shot. Roman Reigns is winning. Daniel Bryan's going to fight Sheamus.
Like, I think he did say that.
Yeah, he did. He did say that. But so it, at least now the intrigue, I think, is more there now because Daniel Bryan's back, and I think people aren't so quick to rule out yet, even though I pretty much did, Ziggler as a possible dark horse. You just don't. I think it's better now that Daniel Bryan's back, Roman Reigns. There's first of all, with the way that they're playing up Reigns and Big Show,
whoa.
Like, maybe they're not even in the fucking Rumble now. Who knows? I mean, they're going to be in the Rumble, obviously, but...
I like when there's ancillary stories that are tied together in the Royal Rumble. Like, Wasn't Shawn Michaels trying to win the Rumble one year because he wanted to face The Undertaker? Wasn't that one of the things Undertaker might have been champ?
Yeah.
And he wanted to win, but somebody cost him the match? It was something like that.
Because, he wanted Undertaker. And I think that was the same year that... I think it was him, Triple H, and Cena in like a spot, and then HBK got tossed out and he wasn't going to get Taker at Mania or something.
Oh, and then didn't he eliminate Triple H or something like that? I forget, but my point being is it was cool having a whole bunch of stories intertwined.
Right.
Like the best example I can give you is like the ECW, the first pay-per-view, the three-way dance. Every single person in that three-way dance had a viable, legit backstory, claim, and support.
Right.
Like, I went into that match, and we talked about it with Stevie Richards when he was on the show. I wanted him to win that match. It would have been so cool for him to win, to get his revenge on Raven for being his lackey after all these years, and finally and take the championship. That would have been cool. What happened with Terry Funk was awesome, too.
Right.
You know, Terry Funk was the old man that built ECW, and, you know, this could have been his final call, but we all know it wasn't, you know.
Clearly.
16 years later, I think he's still wrestling.
Is he?
I think so. His brother still wrestles in Japan periodically.
No, he does not.
Dory has had a match at least within the last year or two in Japan. Guaranteed. Probably a tag team with his brother, Terry.
Probably.
And it was the same thing with, and Tommy Dreamer had a reason, but he gave up his spot. And the Sandman was in there, and the Sandman had a beef with Raven for many years. Like, everything tied together in one match. Yeah. That's what the Royal Rumble needs. The Royal Rumble needs, like, four or five different people.
Well, they've had it. You've had, like, the one that comes to mind is 92.
That was a long time ago.
But you had all the... Well, that also helps that the title was on the line. And
yeah.
But, like, that's just the first one that came to my mind when you had Jake the Snake and Savage. Savage beelines. You got that Snake. You had Piper and Flair. Like, Flair clears the ring. Flair's in the ring by himself. All of a sudden, Piper...
But what I'm saying is the win of the match... Not just for the championship title, you know, for the title shot, but so, like they need to, like with Brett and Luger.
Right.
Luger had every reason to win because he wasn't going to get a title shot anymore against Yokozuna unless he won the Rumble.
I forgot about that.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like things like that.
Yeah, because didn't he win by like a count out at SummerSlam 93? So
yeah.
There was no more title shots
or
something?
Yep.
Good God. Baron Michael Cicluna, is he a Hall of Famer?
Yes.
He is? No, I know he is. I know he's in, but is he? I don't really
know.
The most
I remember of the Baron was that he was kind of like a job guy. He might have been in the ring the night that Ali got into it with Gorilla Monsoon.
Oh.
I think that might be my best memory of him, but he was always like the guy like Bruno would like headline like the Garden 1 month against him.
Okay.
Like, you know, like all of a sudden, like he gets a championship match. And like one of those guys, a serviceable hand, as they would say.
There you go.
Not necessarily as serviceable as, say, like a Sean, like a Stan Stasiak, who was a former WWE champion. Is he in the Hall of Fame?
No.
See?
I think what they do with the Hall of Fame is they treat it like another event that they have to sell tickets for.
Yeah, of course.
So they don't, there's a lot of guys from prior to our major era of fandom that aren't in that probably won't ever go in because it's not about it's selling tickets now. So every year we're gonna get a guy who just retired and go in. Like we're probably gonna get Undertaker within the next 2 years. Well,
they're talking already. If he's not gonna wrestle, they're gonna put him in this year.
Which I mean, obviously he deserves it.
And if Christian's career is over. You got to put Christian in.
I would put Christian in as well. And I think we'll get, I mean, I obviously we'll get Savage at some point, maybe this year.
Maybe this year is the posthumous.
But I just feel like there are so many more guys that deserve it that aren't getting in yet because, I mean, you got Carlos Colon who got in, who deserves to get in, but he's like the afterthought of the class that has Scott Hall, Jake the Snake, Ultimate Warrior, and Lita.
He's like the quote-unquote legit.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like he's the history guy.
Yeah. Which I think they need more of because there's guys that aren't in yet that should be.
Is Bruiser Brody in?
No.
You put Abdullah in. I think you got to give Brody a look.
I would too.
You know what I'm saying?
I wonder if they're, other than like the major names like Savage, like if they're hesitant to put many like dead, passed on people in it.
I think they only do one a year, don't they?
I don't think there's a limitation that has been set for that.
Yeah, but it's been what they've been doing.
Right.
Like, I don't think they want to do more than one a year because now you're losing a potential fan base that's going to come out and see an actual person get inducted rather than, you know, no disrespect, but somebody else's kid or somebody's buddy or something like that, you know?
Yeah, like, I'm trying to think off the top of my head who's not in that I feel deserved. Like, a guy like Rick Martel.
Yeah, of course, the model, absolutely.
Yeah.
Like former AWA world champion.
Yeah. And I can probably go further back if I see the names in front of me. Like, I'm talking guys like Billy Graham era, like
Bruno era. Stan Hansen, is he in there?
I think he's in there. He's in there. Stan Hansen's in there, pretty sure. Unless I'm thinking of Blackjack Mulligan.
No, you might be thinking of Cowboy Bill Watts, who I think is in there. Bill Watts.
I think Blackjack Mulligan is who I was thinking of.
Was there anything else important about Raw? Because I'm just ready to skip. Oh,
Daniel Bryan.
Coming back. Everybody, I'm going to retire. Nope, I'm in the Royal Rumble.
Which was cool. I kind of had the feeling that was what it was going to be.
What you call it? They had a title. They had a champion versus champion match.
Right.
Ziggler didn't job, but he didn't exactly like win. I mean, he just got kicked a couple of times, and the ref disqualified Rusev. And then Rusev gets roughed up by Feed Me More.
And then we had This Is Your Life fucking Ryback.
Yeah, like, look, I'm all for giving Ryback mic time, help him develop. I don't know, it just seemed like it was just like a little like, and it was real personal. Like, we know from Pat Buck, who even talked about it, I think, last week on his show.
On Busted Open, he talked about Ryan and the whole thing with Ryback. I don't know him first name basis. But that's how he referred to him.
He was in a bad spot. They were both in bad spots at that time.
I think the attempt is there to make Ryback more relatable as a character instead of just a guy.
I don't think you need to make him relatable, though.
I agree with you. I do. But
You don't need a backstory for Ryback to be the monster to beat the bad foreigner. You know what I'm saying?
Agreed, but he even said that at the end. This isn't an America Russia thing. This is a big man gonna kick another big man's ass thing.
Yeah,
which is funny because the words ass thing.
Yeah, I thought it was a little weird too.
I chuckled out loud when I heard ass thing.
Me too.
But I think what it was, and this is just the cynic in me and the guy who probably is reading too much into it, when he went all into the negative into a positive thing, I think that was a direct response to CM Punk.
Yeah.
I think it was their way. But again, this is just me. I have no clue. No one told me this. Nothing. It's just me thinking, like, why else would they do it?
Yeah, you know what? You might be right on that.
Why else? Like, they've never attempted anything to get Ryback more relatable before, like you said.
Well, because
why
now,
would they do it now
half the wrestling world thinks that Ryback is like a roid head, he's just a big meat puppet.
So that's why I think that it was a direct response to just basically him saying, hey, I don't give a whatever about what people say about me.
You know what, though? Coming away from that yesterday, I feel that with Ryback, they're actually developing an awesome second chance for him.
I thought they did
compared
that
to what they did 2 years ago when they practically killed him off and they had him job to Mark Henry at WrestleMania in like 8 minutes or maybe it was less than that.
But I think it's unfortunate that this is what it takes for someone to get what we think is going to be a push when someone's hurt for like months and then they come back.
Well, I heard Mark Henry's hurt again too.
Well, whatever. I mean, I like Mark Henry, but is there anything left for Mark Henry to do?
That's all I'd do.
It's what I do.
I'd have him beat Lesnar at WrestleMania.
God,
Mark Henry. One last crack at the title.
Do it.
That's what I'd do.
Then send Brock Lesnar back to UFC.
Yeah, that might be where he's going.
But like I said, it takes a guy to get hurt for a while, and then when he comes back, they seem to reboot him. But then all of a sudden, it goes, and they just drop him again.
Yeah, we shall see.
I hope that it's not, because I dig Ryback, but I think he's going to get fed to Rusev, and then we're going to, maybe we'll have Rusev, Cena, like Eddie said, at WrestleMania.
Was there anything else interesting that happened on Raw last night?
Authority came back.
Yeah, great. Whoop-de-la. Well, they have fitness DVDs to sell. That's why they're back.
Yeah, that's true.
Good for them. Whoop-de-doo.
The Ascension.
I didn't see it.
Showed up.
Was it worth it?
No, they won in like 5 seconds, and it was just a lot of
Who'd
screaming.
They beat?
The Miz and Mizdow. They had them fight again. But this is what I told you last week. This is going to start not the Ascension, but the Dissension between Miz and Mizdow.
What kills me, though, is that Miz hit the skull-crushing finale in the tag title match, and one of the Usos kicked out of it.
Because that's not his finish anymore. He's a figure four guy.
I get that, but still, this is world champion, WWE champion, The Miz's finisher. You know what I'm saying?
I know. Which actually brings me to another point that our pal Kevin Matthews brought up on Facebook. Let me see if I can get his exact post.
Oh, hi, Kevin. Thanks for writing in. Oh, he didn't write in.
No, but he which I think he talked about this, and we probably don't have enough time before our pal.
Well, do you want to hold on to it for now?
Yeah, hold on to it, and we'll take a little.
Well, a quick plug before we take our break, which I probably should have mentioned at the top of the show, but we just took the ball and just started running.
We did.
Kevin Gill, our pal, reached out to us this past weekend, and we're doing something amazing with Kevin and his two buddies, Gabe Ramirez and Marcus Mack. These are the guys that are bringing you King of Indies, the big return of the tournament, 2015. It's going to be WrestleMania weekend. Where's WrestleMania held this year? One of those fields out in California somewhere.
It's Cali. I know that.
Okay. So they're bringing back the King of Indies tournament. We announced Vinny Massaro a couple of weeks ago. Last week. Wow, it was last week, Christmas show.
Yep.
It's been a long week.
It has been a long week.
They announced. So here's the thing. They put together the King of Indies podcast. They were gracious enough to make the Shining Wizards Network the exclusive home of the King of Indies podcast.
Nice.
It's not on Kevin Gill's website. It's not on the Shining Wizards website. It's not on the King of Indies website. It is at ShiningWizardsNetwork.com. The first episode is up. They give you history on the tournament, a little backstory of the guys that are involved. Very funny stories, by the way, of these guys getting involved in the business, including Kevin Gill's involvement in the world of professional wrestling.
Can't wait to give that a... Have you listened to it yet?
Of course I did.
Nice.
Amazing stuff.
I will give it a... KG, man. From one KG to another, I will listen to it. I will listen to it.
I mean, it's great stories. It's awesome backstory. And it's Kevin Gill. You know, you know he knows how to come correct when it comes to stuff like this.
Yeah. Dude's a beast.
So, like I said, this is going to be periodically released. They were talking every other week, but it might be like... There might be another show this week.
Okay.
They're doing it up until the time of the tournament. I don't know where it's going to go after that, but it's at least through tournament time.
So the only thing that's for sure about Kevin Gill is that nothing's for sure.
Exactly. And they did announce the next two participants in the tournament on this week's episode. So I am not going
to
spoil that.
Yeah,
but if
go
you
listen.
Have,
go listen.
Yeah, if you have any inclination to be informed about the California wrestling scene, you want to go check this out.
Yeah, and WrestleMania is in San Francisco.
Yes. Okay. There you go. So it's not too far away, and they might be the only show running that's not WWE. Well, remember Vince tried to put everything on lockdown.
Put the kibosh.
It's interesting how they managed to get around that too. All the stories are on there. It's a great listen. It's about 90 minutes.
Nice.
Like I said, exclusively at ShiningWizardsNetwork.com.
Beautiful.
And Kevin and I are going to take a break. I know it's a little early in the show to take a break, but we have to get ready to take a call from Mr. J-E-double-F himself.
J-A-double-R-E-double-T.
With my baby tonight, Slap Nuts himself, Jeff Jarrett.
The King of the Mountain.
Don't go anywhere. We will be right back.
Your new symbol of excellence in sports entertainment broadcasting. From the current to the way back. It's the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. Only on the Shining Wizards Network, ShiningWizards.com, RantEMRadio.com, GeekLifeRadio.com, iTunes, Audio Boo, and Stitcher.
What's up? It's Mike from The Midnight Jury. The Midnight Jury is a podcast where you, the listener, are able to be transported back to the 80s and 90s every Friday to talk about everything pro wrestling, pop culture, and horror. From segments such as My Five Fun Facts in Under 2 Minutes, and Adam's Finally Rediscovered, to past guests such as Jake the Snake Roberts, Buff Bagwell, and the horror icon, Chucky himself, Ed Gale, you will find yourself going back to the days before iPhones and social media, to when it was all about records, Walkmans, arcades, and malls. Find us on Facebook and Twitter and join myself and my co-host Adam every Friday on The Midnight Jury. Available on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and Audio Boo for the Shining Wizards Network, and Fridays at 5-4 Central to start your weekend on Geek Life Radio. ShiningWizardsNetwork.com. Entertainment here.
Finish miss this episode of The Shining Wizards, get off that $12 whore you just tore apart and check out Neckbreaker, the only podcast on professional wrestling and heavy metal music. Wrestling headlines, metal news, and guest interviews while your hosts get completely shit-faced. New episodes premiere every 2 weeks on Neckbreaker.net or follow their lousy updates on Twitter and Facebook at NB Podcast. Just like Ziggler at the Garden, this ad is over.
Shalom, it's the unprofessional Jewosaurus, Jay Silver, right here to tell you about Two and a Half Wrestlers Podcast. It's myself, Kevin Matthews, Pat Buck, and our newest member, former WWE superstar Kurt Hawkins, now going as Brian Myers, because the man needed something else to do on Monday nights now that he was free. Two and a Half Wrestlers Podcast, available on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and of course, right here at Shining Wizards Network.
GeeksOfTheIndustry.com with such fantastic programming as Chattastrophe, Pro Wrestling Nation, Two for Flinching, Sleeve Notes, Wrestling with Smut, Cart Glitch International, the Mega Powers Radio Podcast, and the flagship Geeks of the Industry. Go to GeeksOfTheIndustry.com now.
This is Justin from the Inconclusive Breakdown Podcast, your home for pop culture news, pro wrestling, geek culture, top 10 lists, and fan castings. Find us on iTunes and Stitcher, proud members of the Shining Wizards Network.
Ladies and gentlemen, before Chris Jericho brought you the light bright jacket, this man brought you the Double J jumpsuit. Before John Cena was throwing these nuts, this guy was calling people slap nuts. He's a multi-time WCW, NWA world champion, plus the champion of Mexico. And he's bringing you Wrestle Kingdom 9 in association with his group, Global Force Wrestling and New Japan Pro Wrestling. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Jeff Jarrett is on the line with us. Jeff, how are you tonight?
Very impressive. Wow. You guys really crafted. Before these nuts, slap nuts, and the light up jacket, and you went deep into my history. I'm impressed, and you even referenced the Mexican, the AAA championship that it's a very proud accomplishment for myself. I love international wrestling, and that's very obvious this day and age, but you know, I was the longest reigning Mexican wrestler to ever hold that title, and so I love going down to Mexico, me and Karen. I know this is hard for you guys to believe, but we're not very well liked down there, but we still enjoy going down there. But no, thanks for having me on the show, and looking forward to talking Wrestle Kingdom 9 and anything else you guys want to discuss.
Well, let's just jump right into current business then. I mean, you mentioned that you guys love working internationally, and you know, when Global Force was first mentioned as, like, you know, the new product that's going to be on the wrestling scene, you know, for months we saw Jeff Jarrett doing vignettes, walking around from city to city, looking for the next big thing. There were announcements that Global Force is working with all these different promotions, and there are going to be associations around the country. And the next thing you know, it seemed like it was out of left field. Global Force is working with New Japan, and I don't know if a lot of people were expecting, you know, an international flavor, let alone such a huge international flavor to be joining. How does Global Force and New Japan come together? Was that your idea? Was that something you were approached with?
Well, obviously, I've got a long, long relationship with those guys, dating years and years and years, and so I think there's a mutual respect on both sides. Obviously, I left TNA about this time last year and was stepping out and putting the pieces together to launch a global brand. And obviously, I had my sights set on the very best promotions around the globe and New Japan. It goes without saying, they are by far the hottest promotion in Japan. But quite frankly, they may be the hottest promotion in the world today. I believe AAA and New Japan are running neck and neck on the hot promotions. And so
they wanted to figure a way, and they approached us and approached me and said, how do we bring New Japan to the North American audience? And it became real obvious pretty quick that the Dome show was the best way to sort of step onto that stage. And like I said, as hot as the product is, and in the Tokyo Dome show, and this is the 24th year in a row on January 4th, you know, it's called Wrestle Kingdom 9, but they had a corporate structure decision, and so they renamed the show 9 years ago. But in all actuality, the Dome show has been around now 24 years. So we knew we wanted to bring this specific show to the North American market. What a better way to step off with a splash. And then so that's where we're at. And then, you know, just things have snowballed from there.
Right. And you mentioned bringing the Japanese product to the North American audience, and it seems like there's a huge resurgence in that respect, especially with New Japan. It's like, especially with the way that technology has advanced in 2014, tape trading is no longer necessary, obviously. What do you attribute the growth for Japanese wrestling in America, and on your travels, your everyday travels, do you find that more North American fans or public or even workers are familiar with what's going on over there?
Well, you mentioned the tape trading days, and I'm very familiar. You know, I'm a third-generation guy. I've been around the business and fortunate and blessed enough that I was essentially born into the business. My grandmother did everything but wrestle. She promoted and started off as a very measly ticket taker and worked her way up and did all facets of the business except wrestle, and then my dad wrestled and promoted. So, you know, I remember the days of before the tape trading days, the magazine days, when you would get magazines and you would see, you know, what's going on out west, and, you know, what's going on with the California promotion, or what's going on with Don Owen up in Oregon, and what's going on with the WWF up in the Northeast and down in Florida and all the different territories. And then every now and then you'd say, oh, wow, there's Otter Wands. They got a promotion in Germany, and then the UK days, and then, you know, Australian was hot in the 60s and 70s. And then, you know, Japan really came onto the scene back in the late 70s, early 80s, and they exploded. And in the 90s, they had that run. So piece by piece, you know, the international flavor of professional wrestling, it's always been there. But now with technology, like you said, the tape dating trays are irrelevant. Now, you know, my kids can go on YouTube and watch a great match, a great main event from AAA, you click over and watch a great main event from New Japan, click over and watch WXW from Germany and watch. Just there's so much accessible, you know, everything's so accessible. And then, you know, the wrestling fan base, and that's what Global Force is one of our real pillars that we're standing on. We want to connect these fan bases. And just a couple of weeks when I saw you up at Pro Wrestling Syndicate in New Jersey, in Rahway, when you have a building full of however many fans it was, 1,500, 2,000, 1,200, whatever that was, it was full. And when you see that autograph line, you'll call it, and about every third person comes in or every fourth person comes in with a Bullet Club T-shirt, and those guys have never wrestled as a unit. I mean, we all got me, AJ, Gunn and Gallows with it the other night. But, you know, the Bullet Club's not been on national TV in North America. You know, they're born out of Japanese wrestling. That's the foundation of the group was with Devin and Prince Devin and Paul Anderson, Bad Luck Fale, and all those guys. So to say that international wrestling is I don't even I don't know the correct term. It's not really a resurgence. It's the world. We're all so much more connected, and the wrestling fan today, via social media, digital, they want to know what's going on all corners of the world. And that's a part of, you know, our strategic rollout and plan.
Right. And you basically just covered my next two questions that I had for you. No, in terms of the fact that the Bullet Club is so hot, I, for the lack of a better comparison, the modern day NWO in Japan. And what was it about that group that caught on? Like, why is that so red hot? Like, as you said, that as a group, they've never worked America.
And this is where the wrestling, to me, the wrestling fan, and I'm still the biggest of the wrestling fans, but you know, the wrestling fan is so knowledgeable, so intelligent, so in tune. It makes it so much easier. We'll call them the millennials, the cord cutters. you know, they got their smartphones, and you can be in touch with fans halfway around the world at the drop of a tweet. They know what's hot and what's not. And those guys, you know, they have their saying, they do what they want, when they want, where they want, and that's pretty accurate. But they also have that other saying called "it's real," and it is. The founding, we'll call them the founding fathers of the Bullet Club, were four guys that came up. I don't even want to call it the hard way, but they came up the real way. They came up paying not just paying the dues. They learned the trade. They learned the craft in the New Japan Dojo. And those guys, you know, went from the outhouse to the penthouse, and they could flat get it done in the ring. And then, you know, over the past 12 months in 2014, Prince Devitt took his career, went in a different direction, and stopped AJ Styles, a guy with a global name, with a worldwide name, who is an incredible athlete. And so he took that with all due respect to Devitt, he took the Bullet Club to the next step. The latest member is Kenny Omega, and right. That guy is off the charts athletic. And so that and Kevin Nash just recently said it on a video that you know, you compare the two, and they both sort of pay homage to one another, and they got a lot of mutual respect. But Kevin said, quite frankly, this Bullet Club is much more athletic than we were. And I sat back when I watched that piece being edited, and I'm going, wow, you know, that's so accurate. You know, Kevin lived that. He was selling out buildings as the NWO, showing up in limousines, and just at a time in the you know, the Monday Night Wars, when the business was, on fire. And Kevin, quite frankly, just said the truth. These guys are much more athletic. They can get it done. And in today's world, 2014 going into 15, the wrestling fans, they want to see guys that can get out there and get it done. And that's with the Bullet Club. When you look at this card coming up this Sunday, 5 out of the 10 matches are Bullet Club influenced or members. And all of those guys can get it done.
Absolutely. And, Jeff, you mentioned the word resurgence before, and not too long ago you predicted that wrestling was on the verge of a major comeback and a major global presence. Is it a coincidence that basically where we are in the Northeast, it's amazing. Wrestling's all over the place, and out in California with companies like Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, there is a resurgence, 100%, I feel, in North America. Is it a coincidence that it's happening in New Japan at the same time?
New Japan has really, this didn't happen overnight for those guys. You got to go back. Tanahashi's in the main event this Sunday.
Yep.
And I believe, and I may be off by a year, either 7 or 8 years, this is his 7th consecutive main event. But New Japan has been in I don't want to call it a slow burn, because it might not be doing it justice, but step by step, they have, before the Bullet Club was really blossomed. But step by step, that promotion has been gaining momentum in a big way. You know, I was there with TNA, I believe it was 06, 07, 08. I'm not sure of the exact year, but, you know, you could see the pieces of the puzzle, and, you know, there were some ownership situations and all that, but you could see the building blocks then, and step by step. And then you hear about the Bullet Club, and then, you know, you hear, wow, they sold out this arena and they sold out that. And then, like this year, the G1 Climax Finals was in the Seibu Dome, which historically had been in the Sumo Hall. And you know, you take a Sumo Hall, approximately 12,000 fans versus the Seibu Dome, and they had 22, 23, 24,000 fans. And when I tell you it was in monsoon, it's basically they drew 24,000 fans or 22 or whatever the number was, and a hurricane related to the state. It was raining sideways in the dome. The humidity was
wow.
Stifling. I can tell you, I was wearing a suit and sweated through four shirts before I went out. But that was how hot the product is. I mean, Tanahashi and Okada, they're rock stars. They're household names. You go to any tube, any train station, any subway in New Japan, you'll see the advertisements, the talk shows, the buzz. Our PR colleague, which Global Force Wrestling that's based out of Tokyo, gives us daily reports and just everything going on. And when you really look, this show, it's not just a Hypeline or this or that. It's a show on par with WrestleMania. You're going to have, they're on pace to sell over 50,000 fans, 50,000 tickets. It's the most widely distributed pay-per-view in the history of our business. It's just a mega event.
I don't think you're going wrong by bringing in probably, arguably, the greatest play-by-play caller of all time, Jim Ross, and you're putting him in the booth with one of the up-and-comers and a guy that I don't really think got a fair shot as a color commentator in Matt Stryker. How does that go? I mean, do you approach New Japan and say, hey, we need some English commentary on this so we could distribute this worldwide? Like, what are the steps that go into that? I mean, obviously the thought process is Jim Ross is on the sidelines, doing his podcast and selling barbecue sauce, which is, it's nothing short of a crime, really, that this guy's not working. It's like, let's reach out to Jim Ross and let's get Matt Stryker in here. What's the process like for that? And I don't know, take us through that.
It was a step-by-step process from a business deal that you get the Global Force Wrestling and New Japan Pro Wrestling. You know, we came to terms, and then the next step was, what's the event? We came to terms that it's the Dome, and then we went to all the pay-per-view providers, DirecTV, Dish Network, In Demand, all the cable outlets, and they jumped on board. And then all through Canada, Shaw, Seth Cattell, Rogers, Bell Express View. And so it became completely, fully distribution in North America. And then with the Flips app, that took it to a whole nother level that anybody with a smartphone, smart TV, in any time zone in the world, all 24 time zones can watch this live. And so when you sort of put those pieces together, the next logical step was, okay, who's going to be the English-speaking announcers? And just as you said, it's a no-brainer. That guy is the voice of today's wrestling fans' generation. It is I can't tell you how excited we were when we came to terms and got JR on board. And it was so refreshing to hear how excited he was. And just everything sort of lined up and the videos that we've rolled out, you can see the emotion, you can see the excitement, you can hear it in his voice. And then Matt Stryker, that was, the next logical step, who's going to be JR's partner, and he had to have a real sense of, number one, he had to know that Jim Ross is driving the car, so to speak, and Matt drives shotgun and has to understand that. And then just as importantly, Matt had to understand that, you've got to be able to have more knowledge than the 10 matches than to sit there and quote unquote wing it. And Matt blew us away, blew all of us away. He knows the history dating back to Ricky Dozan and Antonio Inoki, and as that promotion progressed and the backstories and the lineage and the championships and just everything that goes with it. So everything is more or less fallen into place. And this PR tour that has exploded from 3 weeks ago, myself and Scott D'Amore and Jim Ross right at the front and center. We've talked about this event and here we are 5 days away and everybody is just super psyched.
Yeah. And, bringing Matt Stryker on, I think is a very, underrated, but I guess the word, I think it's something that people might be looking over given his brief time as a color commentator in the WWE. JR is obviously the best that's ever been, people can debate him solely, whatever. But Matt Stryker is a guy that really intrigues me in terms of sitting alongside Jim Ross. A lot of people called Mike Tenay the professor for good reason. If you had a word that could describe Matt Stryker as a commentator, one word, one nickname per se, what would that be?
Oh, good question. Analytic analyst. He really breaks it down. He can communicate with the audience. If your listeners have not had a chance, I challenge them to go to globalforcewrestling.com and check it out. If you want to go straight to the YouTube channel, it's GFW Wrestling on YouTube. And watch Matt Stryker's his match rundowns, the match recaps, the match storylines, the backstory and all that. He really engages the viewer in that how he articulates what they're going to see and what they hope to see and what they hope not to see. And that's an art, in my opinion. I may be dating myself, but you go back to John Madden, pre-John Gruden, And right. just those color analysts, how they can paint a picture of what you are going to see, maybe what you just saw, what you hope to see. And Matt's got a way of batting like that. And you know, everybody remembers Al Michaels' call about the 80 gold. And again, maybe date myself, but, you know, the movie Miracle was made off of it. But, you know, the great announcers, Bob Costas, Al Michaels, the guys that can really, really define a moment. JR has zero peers in this business doing that. When you have a guy like JR, and all of us, three of us on this conversation are big wrestling fans, but when you have JR say that this Sunday may be the very best main event that he's ever called, that sort of stopped me in my tracks the first time I heard it. And I watched it, and I looked at his eyes, and you just really take all that in, and you think about all the, you know, all the WrestleManias, all the Monday Night Raws and SummerSlams and Royal Rumbles and all of the main events that he's called, dating back to Flair and Steamboat on the WCW Clash of the Champions. He's called a lot of main events. And when he says this Sunday may be the very best, as a wrestling fan, to me, it catapulted it to, okay, you can't miss this. You literally cannot miss this because there's a lot that goes in to JR walking the aisle, putting the black hat on, and calling 4 hours of professional wrestling.
Yeah, I think he's also very excited because I remember, I think he mentioned it when he was talking to Steve Austin this past week on Steve Austin's podcast, where he said that he's not really going to have anybody in his ear. So this is going to be old school, you know, just on the fly, calling it as he sees it, JR. And I could imagine that, you know, even just from a personal standpoint, that this is going to be, you know, back to basics, refreshing, you know, the good old JR that we all came to know and love over the years, which is going to be something special in and of itself. We're speaking with Jeff Jarrett right now. As you know, the pay-per-view is Wrestle Kingdom 9 this weekend. It's a joint promotion between Global Force Wrestling and New Japan Pro Wrestling. It's January 4th. It's going to be available live here in the States at 2 a.m. Or if you're not up at 2 a.m. and you want to take the easy way out, you can rent it at 7 p.m. Check your local cable providers. But also, like Jeff said, it's available on the Flips app. Go download Flips. It's available on Android. It's available on your Apple devices. Go over to the Android store or iTunes to get that. For all the information, hit up globalforcewrestling.com. Kevin?
Yeah, and Jeff, before just a couple more things before we let you go. Matt, the guy that you've been corresponding with, he's our resident New Japan expert, foreign wrestling expert, but we both know enough about it that, like you said, Okada and Tanahashi, that would probably be the equivalent of like our Austin Rock or our Cena Shawn Michaels. What else on the card? If you had to pick a match on this card, what would you say could possibly be the potential show stealer?
You know, good question. And I've been asked this before, and I'll touch on just a little bit. We were just talking about JR and somebody having in his ear and that kind of stuff. You know, from top to bottom, there's going to be 10 matches on the pay-per-view. And there's going to be such a high level of athleticism in each, literally in each match, that JR is going to sit down. And we talked about this. He's calling a four-hour sporting event. And it's going to be some hard-hitting action. It's going to be some, as he says, it ain't ballet. It's going to be, you know, it's going to be really raw emotion. And JR calling the near falls in the main event and Nakamura's match and an AJ Styles match. That's the kind of stuff, as a Russian fan, really gets me excited. But to answer your question specifically, I think there's three matches, and I said this multiple times on podcasts or interviews, in that the four-team tag match for the junior heavyweight titles, Forever Hooligans, the Time Splitters, Alex Shelley, Kushida, the Young Bucks, who I think are the best tag team in the business today, and Red Dragon, the ROH tag champs. Those guys are all of them have the ability to steal the show. All of them have when I tell you a very high level of incentive and emotion to really take that match to another level. I'll call it professional wrestling 2015 and beyond. That match, without a doubt, could be a true show stealer. It really could. And so that's one match. The second match is probably near and dear to my heart, is the AJ Styles match. And I talked to him the other night when we at the Raw West show. And to see the sort of, I call it the burning desire in AJ's eyes, I've seen it before. I've seen it on multiple nights. AJ does his he's one of those guys, one of those players that rises to the occasion. When it's time to produce, he goes above and beyond. And so I fully expect this Sunday, him and Naito, and Naito's his opponent is almost a counterpart of AJ.
Right.
He's a main event guy for those guys, but he is, quite frankly, overshadowed by Tanahashi, Nakamura, and Okada. And so he needs to he's got a lot invested in this match. And so both of them have had great years, 2014. And even though 2015, this kicks off the year with the show, but it's sort of, it comes to a close, puts a stamp on 2014. So AJ had a great IWGP run in 2014. He didn't want to go out a loser, and Naito doesn't want to go out a loser by any stretch of the imagination. And so that's another obvious potential show stealer. And then the main event, and you guys referenced it. It is a whatever you can conjure up your favorite rivalry, Rock, Stone Cold, Flair, Piper, Flair, Steamboat,
right.
Savage, or Steamboat, whatever a wrestling fan's real, real favorite rivalry is, equate it to this, because Tanahashi, Okada, similar size, they don't mind leaving a match with busted lips and busted eye, you know, cuts over their eyes and blown out shoulders. They live up to JR's saying. They totally agree, not ballet. So they get in there and mix it up. And those guys, you know, they're going, this is a grand stage. New Japan is stepping out into the world, and the weight of the world is on those two guys' shoulders. So they're going to feel the pressure. And I guess at a press conference here recently, Okada, and he's got a unique sense of humor, but he recently said that he's going to have a six-star match on a five-star scale. So in his unique way, that sort of, to me, cemented their mindset, their truly mindset going into Sunday.
And, of course, I mean, the card, like you said, any match on this card could be a potential six-star on a five-star scale. Shifting gears back to your project of Global Force and what you have going on with this. Obviously, you're putting a lot of your time, your energy, I'm sure your money, I'm sure your heart, your soul, your blood into it. You've had a career in this business that I'll say 95% of the wrestling family community could only have dreamed of. When the final page and the final chapter is written and the book is closed on Jeff Jarrett's career, is Global Force going to be the thing that you want people to put next to the legacy of Jeff Jarrett? Is that your main objective with this company?
I can't predict the future. If you ask me that today, absolutely. My mind, heart, soul, is everything poured into this. There's a vision, there's a plan, there's a strategic rollout, there's concepts, there's ideas. And so without a doubt, but you know, who knows what the future holds? A year from now, 2 years from now, you don't know what hand you're going to be dealt in life. So, so with that being said, as I sit here today, 5 days away from January 4th and Global Force Wrestling stepping out, executive producing, a Tokyo Dome show and what we have in the plans in the works for 2015. Without a doubt, I would love for 20 years from now, Global Force Wrestling, to be, synonymous with connecting the wrestling fan bases around the globe, synonymous with holding the mega events that bring all different ends of cultures and just everything together. And professional wrestling, again, it's my love, it's my passion, I my family. It goes without saying, the old saying, we have professional wrestling has put groceries on our table for 70 years now. So I've got an unwavering, deep respect for the wrestling fan. And so, yes, of course, I want this to be my legacy.
Jeff, I know that when we spoke earlier, I had mentioned the vignettes that were coming out from your company about your travels around the country, looking for the new talent and promotions to work with. One of the promotions that you worked with recently, I know we also mentioned earlier, was Pro Wrestling Syndicate here in New Jersey. And I know you hosted a seminar for them recently. What's it like working with the new guys? Did anybody stand out to you? Any impressions as to what's up and coming for the wrestling business?
And I don't like to give away names just because that's sort of tipping your hand, but I've done a couple seminars throughout 2014. And I wanted, when I left TNA, I wanted to make sure that I'd get out. You know, while I was at TNA, my time was focused strictly on the product at hand and laser focused on that. But I knew in early 2014, I wanted to get out and really witness myself. What that talent base looks like, what's that free agent market look like, and to tell you that I was impressed, it's such an understatement, because I knew it was good and I had seen through certain things over the last several years and the gut checks and all the talent evaluations. I knew that it was rich. I knew that it was deep. But when you really step back and look at the free agent market, and that's been well documented over the last couple of weeks, I think indie wrestlers have a negative connotation. Independent promotions, I understand that. But indie wrestlers, you know, I like to call them free agents. And when I looked at the free agent market, you sit there and look at guys that who have been on TV and been on a global scale to others that have never had the grand stage. And when you combine them all together, it is so refreshing and you know, it's a big, big component of Global Force Wrestling. I'm sitting in my office right now, and I've got a whiteboard and the talent up there that has never been on the grand stage. And I'm sure you guys know many of the names that are on my board. The free agent market, it goes without saying, it's very, very healthy.
It's too bad you don't have more time tonight. I'd love to spend 2 hours with you trying to see if we can guess all the names on that board.
Jeff, a couple things before we let you go. One more quick question. We listened to the show because our friend Pat Buck from Pro Wrestling Syndicate was on Busted Open with you yesterday, and Dave and Doug posed the question to you about basically they were asking, what is Global Force? Because we've had a debate before on this show, but amongst ourselves, about your way of going about presenting your business and what exactly it's going to be. Some of us felt like, well, just announce what your plans are already. But at the end of the day, to me, It's still, at the end of the day, despite your vast resources and connections, it's still a startup business, and it still takes time. And I'm sure you're a smart enough guy to know what to do and when to do it. Can you kind of just justify what you've done to the people that may just be like, all right, well, what's going on here?
I love the question, and I've been asked that quite often over the last couple of weeks, and it confirms to me, quite frankly, is that there is an interest level there. There is a sense of, you know, what's going to happen next? What's going on? Are you doing this or doing that? Why are you not talking about this? Why are you not talking about that? Why are you not making these announcements? I get all that. But as a promoter, it excites me. It really, really excites me because, we're all a sum total of all of our parts, of who we are, good, bad, and indifferent. And something that I've learned over the years, and it's not just strictly relatable to professional wrestling, it's with any brand or many things in entertainment. You know, over the years, guys, we have seen a two red hot individual wrestlers that the fan base cannot wait till they lock horns in a match, and quite frankly, they rush that to market, and it's an absolute failure at the box office. Well, the same with Global Force Wrestling, that we have methodically and strategically rolled out information dating back to April 7th, the day after WrestleMania of 2014. We made the announcements with AAA in April and New Japan in June and Europe in July and South Africa in August and in late August, early September. It was Australia, the alliances, and then we rolled into our New Japan announcement with the pay-per-view. We're creating brand awareness, and I believe that is at the very, very top of the list on a successful promotion. You want to create awareness. You want to make sure the marketplace is ready for it. You want to make sure that the fan is in tune with just exactly what you're presenting, and us stepping onto a grand stage in 2015 with the Dome Show live all around the globe, every time zone, is a great, absolutely great way for us to step on to the stage. And then as we roll into 2015, yes, we're going to be making announcements about, you know, I'll call it the traditional or the standalone or the obvious talent roster and venue and sponsorships and everything that goes with a wrestling promotion. But you know, we want to step out and identify our brand and be unique and make sure the marketplace is ready for us.
Beautiful. Well said. I know, Jeff, that you've been doing tons of interviews this week, and I know we're going to be wrapping up soon, but I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you. I don't know if I've ever read it anywhere or if I ever came across it, and I may sound completely stupid asking this question. Can you give us a little bit on the background of Slapnuts?
It's funny. That is sort of a topical of I'll call it the wrap-up questions or the off-beat questions. Slapnuts, the fact that we're talking about it 15, 16, 17 years later is great. But a slappy, who my grandmother coined the term, that is a slappy is somebody who slaps their gums together. And they slap them together because they know more and more about less and less every day. Somebody just basically runs their mouth. So that's a slappy. And I threw in the nuts just to make it give it a little attitude era flavor, so to speak.
Nice. Well, my wrap-up question was actually going to be, because I saw you not too long ago in Rawway, my question was going to be, what fountain of youth are you drinking out of? Because you got a few years on me, man, but you look good. You're looking good, man.
I don't know about that.
Hey,
I will say this, that, you know, all kidding aside, I've always sort of, you know, a mandate here, or I don't know what you want to call it. I'm a big cardio buff, and I like to exercise, and I think I am addicted to that. But when they approached me about 8 weeks ago, 7 weeks ago, I'm not sure what it is now, about me actually wrestling on this Dome Show, I looked at myself in the mirror. I said, okay, Dome Show, at this stage of my career, I got to kick this thing into high gear. And so, you know, I'm really focused. I'm really excited. This Sunday I'll be wearing my promoter hat and, you know, my wrestler hat. And it excites me up. I mean, two of the three of my opponents wearing a six-man tag.
Right.
Two of them were future Hall of Famers, Kojima and Tenzin. And Tenzin, you know, multiple-time G1 Climax winner, multiple-time IWGP heavyweight champion, tag champion. I mean, this guy is a legit Hall of Famer and his partner as well. So I better be ready Sunday. I hope you've got some sympathy for me, guys, as I get in there and get roughed around. But I appreciate the fountain of youth.
No, I'm saying you don't look a day over when you made your return to WCW and put that guitar right over Buff Bagwell's head, man. You look just the same to me, my man.
Oh, well, that's cool. I appreciate it.
Well,
you're putting me on the spot here.
I got you.
Thanks. Make him feel uncomfortable.
Hey, well, that's part of my job.
Listen, you got Bad Luck Fale on your side. I don't think you have too much to worry about this weekend.
You ain't kidding. That dude, he's a monster.
He's a beast.
And that's something when you really drill down the Bullet Club and you really think about the members they have, remove me from the equation, but I'm the executive of the group at this stage. But when you take AJ and Omega and Gunn and Gallows, and those guys are badasses any way you want to talk about it, a great tag team. And then you take Bad Luck Fale, Tamatanga, Takahashi, and then you go, in my opinion, the Young Bucks are the greatest tag team going. I think they're the best tag team headed into 2015. Their timing and, you know, it's very obvious they're brothers because they know each other inside and out. So when you really look at the Bullet Club as a whole, it's strong. I mean, it's really strong. And like we said the other night, you know, you see every third, fourth, fifth customer walk through the building with a Bullet Club shirt on, and it's not like you can buy it at a local Walmart. If, you know, you're going online, you're ordering the T-shirts, and it's hot. The Bullet Club is red hot.
Absolutely.
And so is Global Force Wrestling,
yes,
for that matter.
Absolutely.
They are co-presenting, producing, promoting.
Yep.
This guy's been promoting like a madman. He's been everywhere this week.
I love it.
I know you do. Otherwise, you wouldn't be doing it, sir. Anyway, I guess, Global Force.
And you know, and that's what my PR guy is like, okay, what's your schedule? And I made it a point that Jim Ross was going to be my first podcast, and leading off with that, we announced Matt Stryker and, you know, everything that goes with it. And then as the snowball started downhill, and our PR guys, and we had to take another guy on staff just to sort of try to keep all the ducks in line, and you just see one thing coming after another. And the Flip Snap obviously took this to an international level, and I've done podcasts in Portugal, and they've translated. I've done it in France, and they've translated. I've done it in Wales, Scotland, England, Northern Ireland, Ireland, Brazil, three or four in Australia, Guatemala. It's truly amazing, but it goes back to all of these fan bases. South Africa is going to, you know, there's actually some wrestlers down there with some fans that are going to have viewing parties. They're going to watch Wrestle Kingdom live via the Flips app live. And when you sort of piece all that together, it's like, wow, all these quote unquote wrestling fan bases are going to be connected this Sunday. And it just makes it that much more special.
It's an amazing thing.
It really is. It almost transcends wrestling in terms of international relations and things of that nature. Excuse the stupid pun I'm about to make. It's a global force. It's what it is.
Wow. Kevin really tanked the show tonight.
There you go. We'll just say it's a global spectacle.
There it is. There I like that go. Even better.
Well, for this global spectacle, Wrestle Kingdom 9 is this weekend, globalforcewrestling.com. Like we said, it's available on pay-per-view. It's also available on the Flips app. Go to your iTunes or your Android shop. Pick that up if you want to watch it anytime. And much love and much respect and actually much success to the future of Global Force and New Japan Pro Wrestling.
And everything else that you're going to have your hands in as well in the future.
I appreciate it, guys, and I do. I appreciate, you know, I referenced this earlier. I come from a wrestling family. We're 70-plus years, and I respect the fact, and I respect the wrestling fan, and I respect the guys that are in this industry. One way or another, we were all sort of eating out of the same trough, and you guys with your promotion, and you're talking it up, bad or indifferent. You know, I appreciate it, and maybe in 2015 I can come back on, and you guys can – tell me what you like, didn't like, and we can go back to the drawing board from there.
Well, hopefully we don't have to wait that long, even if you just want to talk about anything. I love picking the brain of the guys that just are all about the business.
It's so cool. It is. What do you want me to say? Like he said, I'm a wrestling fan too, man. You know, so, Jeff, thank you so very much for joining us tonight. And like we said, all the best this Sunday.
And all the best in the future.
Yep.
Appreciate it, guys. Again, we will do this again in early 2015, and appreciate all the support, and be watching this Sunday.
Oh, we will.
2 a.m. Eastern.
You got it.
Thanks, Jeff. Have a great night, my friend.
Yeah, you too, guys. Thanks.
Take care.
This is Bobby Fish, one half of the world's best tag team, Red Dragon, and you're listening to the Shining Wizards podcast.
The song is very bassy, isn't it?
A lot of bass.
All about that bass.
Yeah.
We probably should have came back to that.
Yeah, yo.
Beep, 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 beep. I'm stealing iPad covers.
This is entertainment. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Diggity dough.
She's not. She's pleasant. I mean.
She's fucking gorgeous, dude.
I'm telling you, man. All of a sudden, Summer Rae to me is like,
Dude, she's hot. I mean, they're all hot. Like, dude, you know who I'm finding more and more attractive every week? Is fucking the Uso wife. Dude, her ass is fucking...
She's thick, man.
It's got ass for days,
she's
man.
She's a thick sister.
I love it.
I'm so glad we came back from talking to Jeff Jarrett talking about...
Listen.
Thick sister ass.
Sister ass.
No, Louie, I'm not pressing the button, so fucking stop it.
Love that sister ass. No, dude, I'm loving her. Natalia is looking amazing. Dude.
They all look good.
Of course they look good.
Well, we are back.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. We're doing a show, right? is that what this is?
No, we could talk amongst ourselves. It's fine.
It's cool, man.
We are back. That was an awesome interview, by the way, with Jeff Jarrett.
Super awesome dude, man.
And just a quick recap. I know that we are plug whores, and we love plugging those that we support. But it's Wrestle Kingdom
like,
9.
We love plugging that sister ass.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Want me to start hitting buttons?
No.
There's no Eddie to yell at me to stop.
No, we're not hitting buttons today.
Well, not yet, anyway. Wrestle Kingdom 9, it's a joint promotion of New Japan Pro Wrestling, who is actually hosting the event, Global Force Wrestling, who is promoting and bringing the event to the masses here in North America, 2 a.m. live, 7 p.m. replays. Please check your local listings on the pay-per-view market.
Yeah, absolutely, because there's a whole to-do, according to their website, with the UFC running the same night, and you might get a replay, so your cable company may not have the live version of it. So,
and if you are looking for the live version, if you're going to be up at 2 a.m., get the Flips app. It's available on the iTunes, and it's available at the Android store.
Yes, sir.
So get that shit. Something else that you may want to worry about that's going to be on cable this weekend.
Yeah, well,
broadcast
yeah,
TV,
I gotcha,
but
on
cable
TV
as well.
Which you'll definitely want to check out. Over 7 million households.
Oh, you didn't say homes. I was going to make a Mexican joke.
Over 7 million casas, homes, pro wrestling syndicate, WLNY, TV55. Set your DVRs for that for sure.
Or just
sure.
Fucking when you're stumbling in from fucking drinking all night.
Listen, not everyone is me, all right? I get home at – actually, that's perfect because I work Saturday night and I won't get off work till about 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning.
Because you're done banging all the waitresses.
That's right.
Kevin
so,
is the fucking Mac Daddy, and you
and
people
so,
don't. You people don't even know.
It's yeah, I hide it really, really, really well.
And all that flirting you were doing with Jeff Jarrett's making me
listen.
Wonder.
The fat one of youth, man. He, yo, time has treated Jeff Jarrett really well.
It's
is my mic. Is my mic all weird or no? Is that just? Is there an echo or no? Is that me?
An echo?
Not an echo per se, but.
No,
maybe I'm just loud.
I think
probably,
it's you, dude.
Probably
I think
loud.
You just fucking like drunker boner,
I'm not
talking
drunk.
To fucking Jeff Jarrett.
Well, listen,
I don't know what to call it. That was the first thing that came.
Well,
to
Well, that's
mind.
The name of the show,
boner.
Drunker Boners with Jeff Jarrett.
There you go.
But,
it's a global force in Kevin's pants.
I made the stupidest puns with him.
Oh, you knew you were going there. Though.
I had to. It was perfect. Listen, I
that's
know.
That's why
good,
you're the comedian of the show.
I know good radio people. All right. But Pro Wrestling Syndicate WLNY 4:30 this morning or not this morning Saturday Sunday morning.
Yeah, so it's early Sunday.
It's early
morning.
Sunday. It's the same. It'll be, I guess not competing, but it'll be on the same time as.
Well, DVR the fucking thing anyway.
Absolutely. And
so
that's
this
what,
way you have it, so you can watch it. You can make fun of Dave and Dave doing commentary.
And that's what Pat has been in, like basically saying, just DVR. We know not a lot of people are gonna because DVR sets the same way as actual viewership, so it's fine. DVR it.
And I got to tell you though, it was really cool. Like we didn't spill the beans, obviously, about you know the production that went into the first episode, but. You know, the boys came here to cut the commentary
oh,
in the
know.
Shining
they,
Wizard studio.
They put pictures up of the
no,
studio.
No, they put it up. No, that's but I didn't want to mention it beforehand because I didn't want to, you know, I didn't want to speak out of turn.
Right.
But it was cool. And I even turned to Eddie. Like, we looked at each other at one point and we were just like, this is fucking awesome. Huh? This is the beginning. This is like the underground. It was like Paul Heyman's mother's basement.
Which
you know
is
what I'm saying?
Not too far off, actually.
Well, I'm sure it's a little nicer. I mean, my wife wasn't down here ironing her fucking clothes while Tommy Dreamer was
true.
Cutting fucking promos.
Your son was pooping in the toilet, though.
Oh, my son comes down here. Before we start
which
recording...
Which might be worse than Paul Heyman's
like,
mom ironing. Your
like,
son
I
was
gotta,
taking a shit trying
goes,
to stink us out.
He goes, yeah, I want to come downstairs to stink you out. Oh, I love that
I'm
kid.
I'm sure Jeff Jarrett's going to listen back and...
Beats up Drew
way.
Gulak and, yeah. And shits to annoy us while we're doing our show.
Goddamn right. But no, that is really cool. And like we say every week, we wouldn't, not that we wouldn't be here, but it's really cool that we have that relationship with Pat and Eric and
yeah.
Kevin and all the boys at Dave and Dave PWS. And listen, watch the show. I'm going to watch it.
Check it out and tell us what you think.
It's got content going back from... I believe it starts with All Fired Up, their first event back at the Rec Center with Ricky the Dragon Steamboat as the guest commissioner for the evening, which was, I couldn't even tell you how awesome that was with Ricky the Dragon Steamboat spending the weekend, in his presence and his company and his knowledge and his wisdom. And this show, I hope, I haven't seen it yet, obviously.
Yeah.
But I'm going to be watching, and I think that it's going to be something amazing that's gonna come from this. And
yeah.
4:30 a.m. is only the beginning. It's only the beginning.
Well, the beginning is 12:01 a.m., but it's close to the beginning of the day.
I didn't say the beginning of the day. I said it's only the beginning.
I know. I was being an asshole.
I know. And I was being a counter asshole.
Oh, is this what you call an offer?
I see your asshole, and I raise you an asshole and a douchebag.
Ooh.
That's right.
Holy shit. Am I going to go all in your asshole?
Too rich for your blood.
Jeff's going to... I hope he stops after the interview.
Yeah. Sorry, Jeff. We interviewed one of the greatest of all time, coming up on his biggest projects.
And that's not hyperbole either. Like, you look at Jeff Jarrett's resume... Fucker's done it all and then some.
Absolutely. I wasn't blowing smoke up his ass when I said that 95% of people that have ever been involved in pro wrestling would only dream of having a career, the longevity alone of his career.
Yeah.
And not to mention what he's done. He was a WCW world champion. Granted, at a time when WCW wasn't at its highest hour.
Well, I can throw you back and say that Shawn Michaels and Bret Hart were champion of the WWF, not at their greatest hour.
Absolutely.
You know?
And that's very fair. And you I know? Think that...
Now I'm going to get fucking hate mail. Like, oh, you compared Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels to Jeff Jarrett?
Jeff Jarrett should have had, as far as I'm concerned, Jeff Jarrett should have had that run in WWF.
Yeah.
He was one of the hottest characters
going.
Except he
was doing good housekeeping fucking beat your wife matches with China.
Jobbing
to China.
We'll
get Jeff back.
We will get Jeff back. I wish there's so much more that we wanted to talk to him about. We didn't get into a whole lot of his history because time was limited, and we really wanted to go strong with Global Force in New Japan.
I'm just glad I know the history of Slapnuts now.
That's beautiful. That's a knowledge is power.
Yes.
But Jeff Jarrett should have had that run in WWF. He had everything going for him. Except, I guess, whatever.
Well, he was also there at a time where everybody had something to do and everybody was a big deal.
And everyone was starting to make
not
their push.
Not a Craig Steele big deal, but a big deal
who
in
the
West. Well,
but everyone was making their push to the top of the card. Everyone was, I mean, Austin was already there. But
yeah, but and everybody embraced that they were there and who they were. You know, like it wasn't like, oh, okay, there's a Steve Lombardi. It was like, no, there's a Jeff Jarrett. There's an Owen Hart. There's a Godfather. There's a Steve Austin. Everybody had something going. There's a Rikishi, a fat guy that dances with these two other idiots. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. Yeah, and Jeff Jarrett was in that program, whatever, with China and with Deborah and all that stuff.
Jeff and Owen, we were talking about before the show.
But that program was
fantastic.
That program was probably one of the hottest things they had going on at that time.
North American NWA champion.
Other than that. No, I'm talking...
Come on, dude. They brought Dan Severn in. At least we got that.
Dinner. So we just jumped all over the place right there.
Whatever, dude.
No, I don't give a shit.
I'm on a fucking high right now,
dude,
man. That was an awesome interview.
That was a great show. We talked PWS. We could talk about... Did we cover everything on Raw?
Well,
we did, right?
We didn't cover Kevin Nash going to jail.
We did not cover
Kevin
Losing
Nash
his
fucking Legends contract, or it's suspended, sorry.
Suspended from doing nothing. That's kind of, imagine doing nothing and get suspended from it. How do you get suspended from doing nothing?
I would love to just walk around with the Kevin Nash attitude 24/7. Like, you ever listen to him when he's doing either a shoot interview or they interview him on WWE Network? He's just like, it was what it was.
I made my money.
That I got my paycheck.
Listen,
they wanted me to be Booker. I said it's going to cost you money. And they paid me.
$500,000?
Just this fucking, like, that's why Kevin Nash is what he is in this business. He's not much as a wrestler, but he's just too fucking cool.
He is, and I think...
Like, he could be a complete asshole, which he is, you know, a lot of the time.
There's a reason why he's got the moniker. He's like the smartest man in wrestling, because no matter what, he'll find a way to get that money. Like, he finds a way to get paid no matter what.
Do you think Scott Hall, Kevin Nash, and those guys were just playing WCW, or do you think that they saw how WCW was and they reacted to what was happening around them?
I think that they knew they could get whatever they wanted.
But you think, like, they went in there like, okay, we want this, we want that, or is it just like, okay, this is how they are. Let's just fucking take everything that we can because this is the only way it's going to be.
I'm not exactly sure how you're asking that question.
Well, do you think Scott Hall and Kevin Nash went in there as pioneers and said, hey, it's got to be done this way? Or do you think they walked in and WCW was like, we're doing A, B, and C. It's like, okay, you want to do A, B, and C? You got to pay me this. You know,
like, I think it's more the latter than it is the former. Because
everybody makes it sound like that, you know, they just let Scott Hall and Kevin Nash in and fucking run everything.
No, see, I don't think it was like that. I think they had a part, but I think Hall and Nash just realized that they could get whatever they wanted if they
Do you blame them for taking advantage, or do you think they should have been like, hey, this is
You know why
up.
I don't? You know why I don't? Because through all the documentaries and stuff that I've watched on the network, the Monday Night
Wars...
Well,
it's all WWE slanted probably anyway, but...
It doesn't matter. I don't think that has one thing to do with the other. You got Shawn Michaels, Triple H, Scott Hall, Kevin Nash, X-Pac, and even PJ to an extent. I don't think there's a doubt in my mind that they all loved wrestling.
Yeah, this is true.
I think I believe every story that I hear.
And they didn't want to leave either.
Yeah.
Like, you talk to Scott Hall. Scott Hall's like, I got to make my money. I'm getting
exactly.
old. Kevin Nash, even more so.
The best quote Scott Hall has is, you could be in this business to make friends, make money. I got some friends.
Yeah.
I'm in it to make, I want the money.
Yeah. So, and it's a fair point.
Absolutely.
It's a fair point.
At the end of the day, Jeff Jarrett said it on this show tonight. This is how we buy groceries.
Yeah.
So,
70 years he's been doing
70,
buying groceries.
So
yeah.
It, but not him. But he hasn't been buying
his family.
I know. But
Jeff looks good, but he's not 70.
He might be 70. That could be a big fountain. Jeff Jarrett.
So not only is he 70, he's fat.
Jeff Jarrett is 95 years old. But no, so I think that there's a fine medium in loving what you do and wanting to get paid. There's nothing wrong with it. It's a job. It's how they provide. It's what they do. So,
fair enough.
That's how I feel about that. Slap
fair
nuts.
Enough. Do we have any other news? Oh yeah. So Kevin Nash allegedly, his kid was attacking his wife. So he punched a kid, and the kid called the cops, and he got arrested.
Yeah,
how it went down?
I don't know.
And then an hour later, the uncle calls and says the kid's beating up the mother again. You got to come back.
From what I've read and from people on Twitter and everything, and then it's not Nash's fault. It's not Kevin Nash's fault. Tristan, it was apparently the one that came home all schlockered up at 18 years old and
what do you think? You Big Daddy Cool?
Yeah.
Come on, Big Daddy Cool.
You're not my big... you are my Big Daddy Cool. You're my daddy.
You think he fucking came in like Razor Ramon, threw his toothpick at him?
Did you see Kevin Nash's son? He's a fucking...
He's a monster.
Hillbilly.
I'm surprised he's not into wrestling.
He's got a beard that could rival like Bray Wyatt's.
He could be like the fucking second coming of the Godwins.
He could be, man.
You know, Vince likes them rednecks.
I don't know, Tristan Nash, whatever. I mean, it was a unique story, but I'm pretty sure it's over. I mean, it got picked up by, like, CNN and everything.
Well, fucking, whatchamacallit, the TMZ picks up everything wrestling-related these days.
Dude, I trust TMZ more than I trust, like,
Harvey
Bible.
Levin.
Yeah.
Harvey Levin doesn't... This is weird how they tell their stories, right? It's always like, Kevin Nash was arrested. Do you think he beat his kid? Like, he'll never come out and say, like, Kevin Nash beat his kid. He'll pose the question and let the public just decide whether or not he beat his kid.
It's like fucking Nancy Grace.
Oh, she's the fucking
worst. Is she still on TV?
Dude. She's the worst? Yeah, I think so. Irrespective of everything she's done to try to bury wrestling, she is just the worst.
Oh, I'm not, yeah.
Anybody that comes on that show, she starts a fight with. It's like, really?
Hey, and Jeff Jarrett retweeted me.
That's awesome.
My.
So when are you guys going out?
We're gonna schedule maybe Hibachi for.
Oh, if you're going to Hibachi,
no, dude, you're not. No, don't try to horn in on my date with Jeff Jarrett. All right.
You should call him back. See if he can get you one of the Ribera Steakhouse jackets.
Ooh, dude, you know what I would do for one of those?
Suck Jeff Jarrett. Sorry.
If you can see,
wait, Kevin's thinking about it. Oh my God! I'm so glad we started really drinking after the interview.
I'm really not thinking about it, but I'm thinking about what I actually would do to get the jacket.
What would you do for a Ribera jacket?
Do they have the Zumbas? Is that what they're called?
Zubas? The Zubas. They might.
I would.
Kevin's really fucking pondering me.
Listen, I'm not.
I wish I had fucking Jeopardy music.
No, I wouldn't suck dick for a fucking Ribera Steakhouse jacket. If that's what
but
you're
would asking. You? Well, you know, I can't ask this. We just interviewed the guy, and he was like, you know.
No, he was the best.
He's the best
around.
All right, let's shift topics.
Give me a Ribera Steakhouse jacket.
All right. Then here's a question I posed to you. I sent this over to Dave and Phil, our brothers in arms over at the Turnbuckle Throwbacks. And I'm surprised I never brought it back to the show. Then again, our shows have been so chock full of shit. Well, not shit, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
If you had the opportunity to put yourself in any position for any shit. I have no, you know what? We were saying no sound bites, but I have to right now. Okay, if you could put yourself in any moment in wrestling at any time as any person, who would it be and when?
Like
now,
if,
when I say
like
any
if
person,
I wanted to have every, anyone's moment, if I could
yeah,
if
but
I could
not,
put myself.
Yeah, but not even necessarily the person. What I'm saying is, all right, let's just say, for example, Ric Flair winning the Royal Rumble.
Gotcha.
You can say I want to be Ric Flair. You can say I want to be Bobby Heenan that night. You can say I want to be Sid who gets pulled out by Hulk Hogan that night. I want to be the guy that sat in the front row that night. I want to be the referee that raised Ric Flair's hand that night.
I'll tell you exactly.
I want to be Pat Patterson, who was the first guy to congratulate him when he came through the curtain that night.
I'll tell you exactly where I want to be right now.
Okay, perfect.
The first one that came to my head is I would have loved to be in the front row the night after the Ultimate Warrior got inducted to the Hall of Fame. And I would have loved to have been at Raw the night after when he came out and made the most epic speech of all time, and then passed away the next day. Off the top of my head, I would have loved to be in that building to hear that speech live.
That's a great moment.
And it might be a little unfair because it's really recent, or almost a year ago, but...
No, but that's huge. That
him coming back, him getting inducted into the Hall of Fame... And then, but I think the night after was more epic than his Hall of Fame induction, I think.
Yeah, the speech was amazing.
So if, off the top of my head, and I guess because I said it first, I'll stick with it. I'm sure when I go home tonight, I'll think of eight more that I'd rather do. I'm sure something involving Bret Hart would come up. But I would have loved to have been there. I wish that speech was done the Raw after WrestleMania the year before. You know what I mean? I would have loved that to be at the Meadowlands and not.
Oh, that was a huge Raw too.
That was amazing. And the Dolph Ziggler cash-in was huge.
Wait, and you were there. Who else was there? Wasn't Jamie Miller there too?
I went with.
There were quite a few people that are Shining Wizards associated at that show.
Yeah, it was me, Jamie, Pat.
Sorry, maybe I shouldn't use his last name, but I don't want Jay Silva thinking that it was him.
Oh no, Jamie Miller. It's fine. He don't care. He's been on the show before.
Yeah.
I think it was me, Jamie, Pat. Then we were in a box suite with...
In a box!
Other random people that the hostess of the suite also invited.
The
so
hostess.
That was great. That Dolph Ziggler moment was fantastic. Obviously, I mean, I was there for when my former favorite wrestler of all time, Benoit, won the world title. But I would say the Ultimate Warrior, Monday Night Raw... Every man breathes his final breath, every lung, every heart beats its final beat deal. Well, I would have loved to have been there for that.
It was amazing, especially...
What did you say in that? Did you post...
I'd never answered.
All right, well, fuck go. Let's go.
It's a tough one for me. Like, nothing really jumps into my head.
If I was going to be a talent, I would have loved to have been... Let's see.
I might have wanted to been. Who refereed? Was it Joey Morella that refereed the main event of WrestleMania 3?
Oh, fuck if I know who's the referee.
I think it was Joey Morella.
Gorilla Monsoon's kid?
Because I think Jesse chewed him out when he made the three count early on in the match.
I've noticed that whoever was doing commentary with Gorilla Monsoon, and whenever Joey Morella was refereeing a match, the guy, the heel, whether it be Heenan or Ventura, always took a dig at Morella, just to get to get under Gorilla Monsoon. Look back. I'm pretty sure you'll notice it too.
I don't think I'd want to be Andre. I don't think I'd want to be Hogan, but I would like to just be the guy that was in the ring with them.
Right.
You know, I think that would be a cool thing. Like,
I mean, that's like a threefold type question to ask, because obviously you want to be the guy that's their moment. You want to be that guy, but you also kind of want, like, maybe I want to be the guy when Ric Flair retires. Maybe I want to be Matt Hardy just clapping and thank you, Rick. Thank you, Rick. Maybe I want to be the guy that gets to come down and say goodbye, like when Edge. Maybe I want to be like Christian, you know, being in that moment, becoming a world champion.
Yeah, but there's also great emotion that goes with being Christian. You know what I'm saying?
That's like, what I'm saying.
This is my best friend. He's got to fucking leave the business, and this sucks, but this is such a great moment.
But it's
him.
A great moment, and you wish, and you're crying, and you're... And but some of it are tears of sadness. Some of them are tears of joy.
I might want to be Mike Tyson punching Shawn Michaels in the face at WrestleMania 14.
That's a perfectly acceptable answer.
You want heartbreak,
dude? And that punch still looks. You see that punch? Watch that punch today. It still looks stiff as hell.
Like, who was it? It was an interview recently where Mike Tyson was. I forget what it was. If it was for a movie or a sketch that he did, and he was supposed to pretend punch someone. Oh, it was Jericho. Jericho talked about it. I think it was him. Did Jericho have a run-in with Tyson, like, in the past couple of years on Raw?
Maybe when Tyson was the guest general manager?
Yeah, and he's like, you know, don't worry. He's like, I'll come close, but I won't hit you. And he's like, I felt the wind coming off his fist. That's how close it was. He's like, the dude could have legit killed me with that punch.
I believe it. And Matt wants to get in the ring with Bobby Lashley.
Did you see the look on his face when he opened that shirt last week?
Oh, the Lashley shirt?
Nothing scares me.
That's great.
It's like, Bobby Lashley doesn't have a face on this shirt.
Oh, yeah. God, man.
Oh, God. Yeah, there's quite a few moments.
That's a good question that hopefully I could make a whole top 10 list about.
Hopefully that replaces the Mount Rushmore question, because I'm kind of sick of people saying that. Although it's died down recently.
I haven't heard that the Mount Rushmore question in a long time.
Nah, it's a good month.
I feel like that question is good every like 5 or 6 years, or probably every 10 years.
That's good for any topic too.
It is. I mean, like, who would your Mount Rushmore of Intercontinental Champions be?
Or who's your Mount Rushmore of NFL players? Who's your Mount Rushmore of presidents?
I didn't realize we were going. Was it? Wait, do they have that yet? Is there a Mount Rushmore of presidents?
What?
I don't think there is. That someone should do that. Someone should make a Mount Rushmore with presidents.
That sounds
on
like
it.
A great idea.
The Shining Wizards have just created the best idea ever.
Oh, brother!
You want to? Is there anything else that we have to touch on other than myself when I go home?
Well, it is our last show of the year. Unfortunately, half of the show is not here.
And you're rhyming like a fucking...
Here and here. Here, here. Over here.
No, you said year and here.
Oh, did I?
Yeah, it's the last show of the year, and half the show is not here.
I've been drinking too much tea.
All right. So you could have said beer. You could have just lied and said beer.
Well, I wanted to rhyme suck me with tea.
All right. Yeah, all right. So you want New Year's resolutions? Is that what you
guess.
Want?
I guess. I mean, I don't know. You want to keep them wrestling related so we don't sound all sappy?
Yeah.
2015. What's your resolution? I it's weird, though. Like, what are we going to resolve for 2013? To watch more?
Well,
to try to enjoy Raw more?
Or go back in time, because you said 2013.
Oh, I said 15.
You said 13.
No, I didn't. You're going to make me listen to this again?
You said 2013. We're gonna time travel.
We're gonna go back in time.
I'll go. I mean, mine is. I mean, obviously, I want this show to reach the highest of fucking heights. I mean, it's gonna be tough to do because we've had an amazing 2014.
We did, man.
Comedy wise, I want to just keep getting up on stage as much as I fucking can.
Keep killing it.
But
man,
at the same time, I want to get more involved in wrestling somehow. I don't know more than what we do with this. My New Year's resolution is at some point to, I don't know,
get in the ring.
No, not get in the ring.
Oh, please get in the ring.
I can't get, dude. I'm so out of shape. I'm my I pulled a muscle just getting out of bed. Like, I pulled, like, my thigh. I couldn't walk down the stairs because my thigh was, like, so, I don't know what kind of muscle. I don't even know what muscles are in the thigh.
It's you need to start doing DDP yoga, man.
Maybe I will. Maybe that'll be my New Year's resolution.
It'll tone you up. You'll start to feel better. You'll breathe easier. It's so easy to do, dude.
Yeah. Maybe I'll take up the
DDP yoga. I mean, you look at me. I still got my gut, which, I don't know, half of it is, like, skin from when I was fat. And the other half is just me, like, not wanting to give up cheeseburgers. But trust me, man, you feel so much better doing that shit.
All right, maybe I will. Maybe I'll do DDP yoga. But, like, yeah, I just want wrestling to be awesome. I want Pro Wrestling Syndicate to be amazing. I want, if I can help in any way with that, more so than I already, a little bit, and again, I don't do a whole lot, but more so than I already do, that would be awesome. And just do comedy as much as I can.
I actually want to start writing theme songs for shows.
That's what?
I had a little bit of work. I don't know if I told you this earlier.
Like for what, sitcoms?
No, just for other people's like shows.
Oh, like writing music for their podcasts or their...
Yes.
Ah.
You don't know how, like, I don't want to spill the beans because I don't know who's doing what with what yet, but it was a lot of fun doing that work over the days when I wasn't sick this past week, which was fucking misery. I don't want to miss out on Christmas next year. That's my resolution.
There you go.
I'm going to fucking take emergency and get a fucking IV drip. I'm going to wear one of those Chinese fucking, like, SARS masks, like, the week before Christmas. Dude, we were miserable.
My wife got
the flu. My kid had bronchitis. I don't know what the fuck I had. We missed Christmas dinner. We missed Christmas Eve.
Well, listen, you and the two guys that aren't here, Eddie and Matt, I don't know how I escaped. And
here's the thing. My kid was the only one that had anything going on last week, and it was bronchitis. Matt's got fucking walking pneumonia, and Eddie, I don't know what the fuck Eddie's got.
I'm just saying that you guys always get sick, and I'm the one that, again, knocking on wood, but Matt had that miserable cough for the last, like, 6 weeks, if not longer. Diphtheria.
You know what it is? He wipes his ass with his fingers, and he sucks on them.
Oh.
That's his problem.
Another piece of the puzzle comes together. There it is.
I don't know. I mean, I want to enjoy WWE more. I want Raw to go back to 2 hours because I'm sick of fucking watching it till 11 o'clock at night when I do watch it.
And I hope TNA does well.
I hope TNA gets a fucking awesome, you know, fresh new start on Discover America. Much success to PWS. Much success to our buddy Kevin Gill with this fucking tournament with this King of Indies tournament.
And I want to wish House of Glory, Brian XL, Amazing Red.
House of Glory.
I wish them well. They just did something, an exclusive deal with the NYC Arena in Queens, in Jamaica, Queens.
Take us to Queens.
He just locked something up there, which he's the only wrestling company that will be running in that building, which is a lot of fun. I look forward to going back on February 27th. I think that was the date. But because I know PWS is February 21st. I think
wow.
So.
Wow.
Yeah.
You're like a walking Rolodex of fucking
wrestling. Listen,
dates.
I want to listen. This is what I love. All four of us. This is what we've been loving for our whole lives.
Yeah, but specifically over the past 3 years.
Absolutely.
This show has actually rejuvenated all of us.
Well, I'll tell you this. I know it rejuvenated Eddie. I know it rejuvenated Matt. I can't speak for you because I don't know how long if you ever got out of wrestling. I'd never stop watching.
I was the one that was pushing to do this shit.
Right.
Because it was like every time we fucking got together, like all we talked about was wrestling, dude. That's all we whether it was fucking our buddy Anthony doing impressions of everybody or just talking. Like, dude, we get together. We watch like Stranglemania all the time.
That's funny.
Fucking watching old pay-per-views. We get together to watch the pay-per-views. Like, I still remember we went to, it was Eddie's house one night. And fucking, we were watching I think it was Royal Rumble. Fucking Brain takes his dick out and starts wiping it on the Sprite cans.
Right, well, that
nobody wanted soda anymore.
I'm not going to lie. I'm kind of glad
I missed
that.
Well, I mean, we don't do that anymore, you know, at least not here in studio. But but that was the kind of shit that was cool to us. And that's, you know.
It's wrestling, no matter how much we bitch and complain about what we don't like, for some reason, it's the art form that I will never stray away from. I don't care how bad it is. And if I complain or I make negative jokes. It's a lot easier to find the negative in something than it is to find a positive in something. But I will never stop watching it. I can't see a moment in my life where I'm not watching pro wrestling or I don't want to be involved in some way with wrestling. So,
and I want this show to pop. I want this. I mean, we've been doing this for 3 years now, over 3 years.
Yeah.
I want, like, and we've been getting a bigger following. We've got listeners around the world, you know, truthfully.
Yep.
You know, we've had a great slew of guests, even greater this past year. We've had some huge names. 7 Hall of Famers have been on this show.
I'm just looking up at the wall, man. RVD, Jerry Lynn, Ricky Steamboat, Mick Foley,
yeah.
Too Cold Scorpio, Drew Gulak. It's just,
Well, we haven't had Scorp on yet.
No, but he's on the wall.
No, I know he's on the
wall. But we had him. We know him. He's a friend of the show.
Yeah.
But
I'd love to talk to him. To him about his big piece.
I'm sure we can make it happen. If you want to talk about his big piece, I'm sure we can make it happen.
Well, if Mick Foley could talk about it in his book, I'm sure we can have a conversation it with the man himself.
That's true.
But yeah, man, I want bigger things for this show, man. I just want to keep going up and up.
And I think we will. There's no reason why we can't.
You're absolutely right.
So
you're absolutely right. Well, rather than be saps for the rest of the night, I think we're gonna wrap up 2014.
That's and again, what a year it's been. This is capped off with the King of the Mountain, Jeff Jarrett, tonight. Last week, Nigel McGuinness, Kevin Gill. Go back, listen to that show. Go back to all the archives of the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast.
Dude, and we're hosting an exclusive show of Kevin Gill's.
Yeah, and Kevin Gill is all about that positive mental attitude, man.
PMA, baby.
PMA, dude. And he's one of the coolest dudes that I've ever had the pleasure of meeting. I wish he was back there at PWS with ICP was there. Hopefully we'll see him again down the road.
And I'm telling you, I learned a lot listening to that inaugural episode of the podcast.
Yeah.
Please check it out. It's over on the Shining Wizards Network feed. It's on the website. It's on the iTunes. Definitely take a listen to it. Three guys just talking old school, and all three of these guys have experience in the business, and these are stories that they lived, that they went through. Some of them are really fucking funny, too, man. Go check it out. Check out all the shows on the Shining Wizards Network. We've got a great lineup. We've got everybody's been a moving and a shaking. New episode from Jay Silva and Brian Myers this week. I know Phil and Dave put up a best of over the weekend for the holidays. And I think Pat Buck might be recording tonight, too. I'm not sure, but just keep an ear out, man.
Dude, check out All Wrestling. If you're in an area that's not, go. I'm sure there's something running where you live.
Yeah.
Go check it out, guys.
And report on it. Tell us how good it is. Tell us how bad it is. We want to know. Like, I talked about it before. That's my dream. I want to, like, if there's a shitty little wrestling promotion, I want to go check it out. I want to see how bad it is. I want to see how good it is. It could be fucking 5 people with folding chairs in a duct tape together ring. If they fucking put on a good or bad show, I want to fucking see it, man.
All right. There it is.
Dead serious.
Let's see. We got, let's check it out. We got anything we got to plug? Obviously, again, Pro Wrestling Syndicate is Sunday, 4:30 a.m.
Yes.
Late Saturday, early Sunday. Also, the Frozen Fallout, January 31st, the Rahway Rec Center. First time ever, John Morrison versus Sabu.
Yes.
That's huge. Fatal 4-way for the PWS World Heavyweight Championship. Newly crowned champion, Fala Ba, takes on former champion, Bonesaw, who just had beaten that same night former champion Mario Bocara, and number one contender Dan Moff,
the fucking Barriqua beast.
Rock and Roll Express will be there taking on the Heavenly Bodies,
and Dan Moff
with Shining Edward Jackson.
Dan Moff was rocking a Shining Wizards Mania shirt this past weekend. Saw the videos on Facebook.
Oh, he was, man.
If you want to be like our buddy the Barriqua beast Dan Moff, go to ShiningWizards.com/merch. Get yourself a Mania shirt. We don't have too many left.
Yep.
Get now before your size disappears and you have to upsize or downsize.
Set the DVRs for Pro Wrestling Syndicate.
If you have big tits, get a smaller size. If you're a big-titted man, get a bigger size.
Check out.
Nobody wants to see that shit.
Yeah, no one wants to see that at all. obviously, check out what we've been talking about the entire night, Wrestle Kingdom 9. We've already plugged that enough.
And there's plenty of names on the show, which I wanted to mention. even if you've never heard of any of the Japanese contingent on this show, you've got Red Dragon, Bobby Fish, Kyle O'Reilly. You've got the Time Splitters, Alex Shirley's on that team with Kushida. Rocky Romero, Alex Kozlov, the Forever Hooligans, the Young Bucks, Nick and Matt Jackson. Bad Luck Fale, who loves wearing the Shining Wizards shirt. He's all over the place in Japan wearing that thing. Who else is on here? Davey Boy Smith Jr., Lance Archer.
The Killer Elite Squad, man.
Shelton Benjamin. Who else is
Kenny
on here?
Kenny Omega, AJ Styles.
Kenny Omega, AJ Styles.
Luke Gallows and Carl Anderson, the Bullet Club, the entire Bullet Club.
So there are names on the show, and we know people that rented one of the last pay-per-views for the first time, and they fucking loved it. So you are not going to be disappointed if you check out this show. And you don't want to check it out at 2 a.m.? Check it out in the afternoon. Get the app. Fucking rent it and watch it at your leisure.
Absolutely. Do you have anything else? Because I got one more thing.
The plug. Thing? Have you promoted yourself? Do you have AIDS?
No, I don't have AIDS yet.
Not AIDS, dates.
Oh, dates.
Did you say AIDS?
I said AIDS.
Jesus Christ.
That's my New Year's resolution, is to get AIDS.
Oh, I thought you were going to say to not get AIDS.
No. No, I want to achieve something.
You
right?
have AIDS.
Oh, no.
Jesus!
I'm sorry.
The Boston Pro Wrestling Marathon, March 6th, 7th, and 8th of 2015. We just had Kevin Sullivan on the show, the legendary Kevin Sullivan. He'll be on that show along with our pal, network friend Brian Myers, the Headbangers, Tommy Dreamer, Matt Stryker, who will be calling the action for Wrestle Kingdom 9. A lot of big names. March 6th, 7th, and 8th up in Boston. Four shows. One location, so check that out. And I mean, that's anything else to plug or
no? I'm just wondering what I'm going to use to close this show. Maybe I'll put in Jeff Jarrett theme. I don't know. What sound do we use to end the new year? Do we play Auld Lang Syne? Auld Lang Syne.
Is there like a metal version of it?
I don't know. There's got to be one somewhere. But I'm going to do that after we say goodbye, y'all. And
Happy New Year.
Yes, Happy New Year.
Hope you all had a fantastic 2014. We'll see you in 2015.
And hopefully the ball in Times Square is not the only balls dropping on New Year's.
All right. You know, we're having too much fun when we just kill the show.
Balls.
No, I'm just kidding.
Bobby Fish balls.
Have a great night, everybody.
Brodus Clay. I could read down the list of names here. Buff Bagwell balls. Chris Payne balls.
I hope everyone had a very merry Chris Payne miss.
J.J. Dillon balls.
All right.
All right, I'm having too much fun. Good night, everyone.
Yeah, we got to have to.
Wizard balls.
Yeah, we're cutting the last few minutes of this out of the show.
Later. Actually, I think I found ending music, Kevin. Let's have some fun with this.
Is this from your kids' recital?
I wish they were this good. It's time to end 2014. We had some fun, and now it's time to go to end the show.
If there's not Muppets coming in here singing soon, I'm going to be very
upset. Too bad Eddie's not here.
Eddie would have a field day with this.
Could have whipped out some Kermit. Yay! Wait, is that it?
Yeah, it's done. Yeah.
Good night, everyone. Oh, wait, it's still going.
All right.
Oh, my God, we're dying.
A slow, miserable death. See, at least now we know it can only get better in 2015.
It almost sounds like ducks are coming in the room, you know? Like, they're just waddling back and forth.
It sounds like a...
Oh, please let that be it. Oh, thank God it's over. Good night, everyone.